Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I'm so totally excited, over the moon, to be speaking with our next guest, Harrison Greenbaum, because I got to see him do his thing at the Mad Apple, which is a brand new Cirque du Soleil show, last weekend, right? It was last weekend already, or 2 weeks ago, whenever I was there. And it was so hysterically funny that I fell off my chair. I thought I was watching Broadway, Catskills on Broadway, or maybe Don Rickles in his prime. And it takes a lot for me nowadays to really laugh. It doesn't take that much for me to pee in my pants, but that's a much lower bar. But Harrison Greenbaum, I found out we have something in common, really a lot in common, including having gone to the same high school where he was the valedictorian and I wasn't. Harrison Greenbaum, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. You're so unbelievably funny.
Oh, thank you so much. I should tell our listeners that we probably didn't go to the Lawrence High School at the same time.
No, I think that you're about 35, if I'm right. You're my son's age.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. But you grew up
casting,
in...
I'm closer to 26.
Okay, very good. Very good. But let me ask you, you grew up in Woodmere. So did I. I lived in Woodmere Park on Green Place. Did you live around there?
I lived around Longacre, so right by number 6 school.
Yeah, me too. Well, I lived around the corner from you, okay? Literally, yeah. Around the corner. Green Place is around the corner from Longacre. And I don't know what it looks like now. It's been a while. But those were my old stomping grounds. And I went to number 6 school when it was brand new. Brand new. So there it is. So, yeah, a generation or so apart. Harrison, I understand your parents were thrilled that you took your Harvard degree and decided to do stand-up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I graduated top of my class and then said, hey, I'm going to do jokes for money. I think they were understandably nervous. They're very good Jewish parents. So I think they just wanted to make sure that I could take care of myself. And, I think at the beginning they were probably a little bit nervous. And thankfully, I've been able to prove the decision at least somewhat correct.
Unbelievable. And you came out gangbusters with very funny line about being actually engaged to somebody from Nebraska. Is that true or false?
Yes, I am currently engaged to a girl from Nebraska, and it's a fun sentence to say because different parts of it are surprising to each of your listeners.
Exactly. And anyway, you know, Harrison Greenbaum, so I understand you're also a magician. You went to the Tannen's Magic Camp.
I did. Ever since I was a kid, I went as a camper for many years and then have become a counselor. And I've basically gone to Magic Camp for 21 years in a row. As a counselor, we're all volunteers. We don't get paid. We go there just because we want to pay it forward and help the next generation of magicians. And many of my mentors are people that I met at camp. And I try to pay it forward and mentor kids, the next generation in the same way. So it's super fun. Magic Camp is right around the corner, actually. We've had 2 years of virtual camp because of the pandemic. And this year, in about, I think it's a week and a half now, we're going to be all back together for the first time in 3 years.
Where is the camp?
It's at Bryn Mawr in right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay, very cool. Well, you do a pretty, I have to say, we're chatting with Harrison Greenbaum, you do a very impressive magic act in your stand-up. Very impressive. We walked out talking about it. We were trying to figure out if there was a tablet involved, if there was some secret something someone was telling you off stage. It's a very impressive act, very impressive trick.
Oh, thank you. The reason I use a very thin table is to make sure people know that there's very little that I could be using by way of electronics. But I started out as a kid magician, and one of the things about doing sort of comedy and magic combined is trying to make sure that I'm doing justice to both. I do 600 plus shows a year as a comedian. I want to make sure the jokes are really smart and sharp. And then the magic tricks in my act, when I do my full show, that's one of the tricks for my full show. They're all original tricks that I've developed myself over the years.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. What I loved, we're chatting with Harrison Greenbaum. What I really loved about your act is not only how funny you are, but how quick you are to respond to whatever else is going on in the audience. And that's a real talent that is only honed, I think, by doing stand-up for a while, right? I mean, you got to really be doing it for a long time to have that finger on the pulse of being able to be sassy back to an audience while you keep the rest of the audience with you.
Yeah, I mean, it also keeps it really, really fun. You know, one of the unique things about Mad Apple, it's the first ever Cirque du Soleil show to have a stand-up comedian of any kind. So that's a huge honor. And one of the things that they were, you know, really amazing about was saying, we want it to feel like a New York comedy club, and we want it you to feel like you have permission to, you know, go wherever you need to go, do whatever you need to do to kill in that room. And it's a 1,200 seat theater. It's all Las Vegas audiences, and those are some of the most fun audiences to play with, because you really do get such a range. You get everybody from all over the world, so it's so fun to talk to people. And I remember getting advice from Susie Essman, who I opened for a while ago, and she's a sweetheart. And she one of the good pieces of advice she had said was, if they're going to come to see you live, make sure there's a reason to see you live. If you just do the same exact set every time, they can watch a video of it. So I always try to incorporate the crowd and what's happening in the moment, so that everybody knows that the performance they're seeing is really something that can never be repeated.
Yes, that's very good advice. That's really good advice. Is she as filthy on stage as she is on the Larry David show?
I think she's probably a little bit filthier on the as Susie Green, the character.
Susie Green, yes.
But she's hilarious. She's a joy to work with.
Yeah. Wow. We're chatting with Harrison Greenbaum. So are you having fun in Vegas? Like, how long are you going to be in Vegas doing Vegas?
Well, so my story is kind of crazy. They called me in for one day to fill in during a preview. I brought like three pairs of underwear. I did the first show. They said, hey, do you mind sticking around for one more day? And I said, sure. I have three pairs of underwear. So I stuck around for the second show. And then I said, hey, do you mind staying till the end of the week? I said, I'll probably have to tell my fiance that I'm not going to be home until Saturday. And then before Saturday hit, they offered me a contract to stay here for a while. So yeah, it was a whirlwind. I literally was in between shows in New York. I had four shows on a Saturday night. And in between shows two and three, they asked me to jump on a plane the next morning to come to Vegas. And wow. I've basically been here ever since.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it is a great show, though. But I think it's partly because you make it a great show. But there are two other comics. There's a guy who calls himself a midget. I'm not saying that. He uses that word. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody. But, you know, in Vegas, you can say stuff like that. And he's hilariously self-deprecating and really funny. And then you've got a rapper who's funny, too. But I think you're the star, Harrison Greenbaum. I think you're the star. I do.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, Brad is awesome. And Chris, what Chris does... there are very few people on the planet who can do. So it's very cool to be, it's very cool to be in the show with them.
Yeah. And then you've got the guy who does this amazing thing on this contraption that looks like a rotor in a amusement park. I don't know what he calls it, the wheel of death or something?
It's the wheel of death. The wheel of death. I mean, generally, I think it's the wheel of probably going to survive, because if he didn't, we wouldn't be able to have it in the show.
Right.
But yeah, technically the wheel of death.
Yeah, and it's pretty scary stuff to watch as an audience member, I have to tell you.
It's scary to watch as a cast member. You know, these people have become my friends, so I would say I don't want any of these guys to get hurt. But what they're doing is there is risk to what they're doing, because it is incredibly difficult. For example, the Wheel of Death guys, we have two guys actually that alternate, but they are, you know, they're like seventh or eighth generation circus. Their father did circus. Their great grandfather did circus. So they've been training for this since they were kids.
It must be so much fun for you, because it's not, you know, it's not a typical group of people that you would otherwise get to know so intimately, because circus people are their own people. Aerialists, contortionists, they have their own, as you said, generational subculture, talents, genetics. It must be fun for you to make these people as your friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, comedy is normally a solo sport. So it's mostly being on the road alone. Maybe get to hang out with, like, you know, your opening act. But that's about it. So being all of a sudden in a real cast. I mean, I was a drama club kid when I was in high school and middle school. And my grandmother, my very Jewish grandmother, she, I think no matter how much television I did, no matter – you know, I was on America's Got Talent in front of tens of millions of people. The thing that was most important to her was that I was Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof when I was in eighth grade. That was for her the biggest thing I've ever done or ever will do.
That's right.
So I definitely am a drama club kid. And so the idea of being like in a dressing room and hanging out with a cast is something that I grew up enjoying. And so that's, and also I toured with the Unbelievables, which was a show actually by The Works, which is the company that helped put this show together. And that was in Australia. So we toured Australia for 3 months. And so I always used to joke that was me basically running away and joining the circus. So I had a little bit of practice with it. And now, yeah, Cirque du Soleil don't get any bigger than that.
We saw the O show the night before we saw your show. I had never been to any Cirque du Soleil shows before this weekend. And we saw the O show, which is magnificent and beautiful with water. And you're thinking, oh, my God, they better not drown. And it's incredible. It's incredible. But the Mad Apple, and we went as a family of five, we liked even better because we felt like we could see it so much more up close. Like you could see them sweat, you could see their pores, and you were so entertaining. And it was a little bit more like the kind of a show where an audience could relate to people versus sort of just watch it. I can't explain it, but that's, you know what I mean? A little different kind of.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was a conscious choice on the creators. I mean, the idea of Mad Apple is that there are 6 Cirque du Soleil shows currently running in Las Vegas alone. They're all great. They all have different. They're all very different. There's the Beatles One Love, which obviously features the music of the Beatles, which is awesome. They're all really great. I think Cirque wanted to try something new with this one. We're the only show where, I mean, I speak English. I go as myself, I'm my own name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing stand-up comedy. It's the only one is for adults.
Very
adults
much. Yes, very much.
I think it's really cool to be part of it. You know, the Cirque tradition is amazing, and it's really fun that they decided, hey, let's try something different. And yeah, the fact that I'm doing stand-up comedy in a Cirque show is mind-blowing.
So do you want to take your comedy, Harrison Greenbaum, and what do you want to do with it? Do you want to have the next Tonight Show? Do you want to be somebody who, you know, does 6 weeks in Vegas as a solo? Do you want to become an actor again and, you know, like a Bill Murray kind of a improv guy who ends up being a movie star, notwithstanding some of the allegations recently against him? But I'm just saying, Harrison, like, where do you want your own career to go? Where do you want to be?
I mean, all of that sounded great. So if you'd like to be my agent, I'm actively speaking. And that all sounds good. I'm in. You know, it's hard to predict because if we had this interview a year ago and you said, oh, of course, you're going to be a resident comedian headliner of Cirque du Soleil show, I would have said, what are you talking about? That sounds like a fever dream. So it's hard to predict, but I love doing stand-up. I love getting up in front of the crowd. So, I just want my stand-up, my comedy to get to as many people as possible through whatever vehicle that can do that the best.
Well, I'll tell you, the last great show on television, as far as I'm concerned, was still Seinfeld. I know it kept losing to Frasier every year, which is incredible, but it was the last great comedy, and it was in the 1990s now. It's hard to believe it's that long ago. So maybe you can write and star in the next great sitcom, because we need it. We need to laugh, Harrison. That's what we need to do.
I agree. I mean, I have a background as a comedy writer as well, so I would love that.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to create the next great sitcom, Harrison Greenbaum. And I'm going to be looking for where you are. You better stay in touch with me. The next time you're in New York, I'm going to bring my whole group. And we're going to laugh and cry and clap and cheer you on. And by the way, does anybody still go to Lawrence High School anymore? Because I thought it was almost closed.
No, Lawrence High School is still going. There's been some changes in the district, but
you
it's
think?
Still there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Still there. My mom was on the school board back when I was in high school, my sister and I. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing about Lawrence High School, I mean, you know this, I don't know if the listeners do, but that school is has everything against it. It was built on a swamp, so it's mm-hmm. sinking like an inch a year. It has a garbage plant on one side, the airport on the other side.
Yep.
It's an insane place to get an education. But the teachers were incredible. So I, you know, I, obviously I would not have been able to go to a place like Harvard if I didn't have an incredible education from there.
Do you still have to stop your class in the middle of the day because the planes are that low? Because we used to do that fairly frequently.
Oh, yes, 100%. Yeah. 100%. When I try to explain it to people, they don't get it. But yeah, exactly. You'd be in the middle of a lesson, and then you'd be like, oh, Delta.
That's right. That's right. I used to work at TWA. That was my first job. It was my summer job at TWA. Oh, it was the best because I lived in Windmere around the corner from you, and I would just 20 minutes.
So close.
I was right there on the North Boundary Road. I was right there all the time. I loved it. Yeah, in the Euro Saarinen building, which is now a hotel. Well, Harrison Greenbaum, I'm rooting for you. My audience is rooting for you, and we're going to be watching and following your name and clapping all along. I feel like I've discovered you. I know you've been a very big deal pro, and you've got a huge resume, but I feel like I've discovered you, so that's it.
Well, it's like, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success, as I think Seinfeld said.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate it so much. Yeah, if your listeners want to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. At Harrison Comedy. And my website is harrisongreenbaum.com. You can follow my tour schedule. I'm mostly in Mad Apple now. It's every, we don't have shows on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but every other day, so Friday through Tuesday, we have two shows a night. So it's 10 shows a week, 7 and 9:30 at the New York Hotel and Casino, which is also weird, by the way, is to move from New York to then work at a casino that is modeled on the city you just moves from.
I know. But they do a pretty fun, funky job in the lobby. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
It's super fun. And like, their goal was to make it feel like a wild night out in New York. And as the only New Yorker in the show,
right,
and the only Jew, which I think is important for a New York show.
Yeah, I think so too.
I really do think it does have that vibe, which is awesome.
It is awesome. You're awesome. Harrison Greenbaum on the Lisa Wexler Show. Thank you so much for getting up early to be with us today.
Oh, yeah. This is normally the only time I see 8 a.m. is if I haven't gone to bed yet.
Yeah. Ouch. So thanks for doing it and keep breaking a leg in Vegas. We'll tell everyone to go see your show.
Thank you so much. Just Google Mad Apple, madapplelv.com and grab tickets. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do too. Harrison Greenbaum on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.